Guys, welcome to Game Chat. We're back again this week. We're talking
Yay.
About the 1 weeker. thanks for the excitement, Frank. This week we're talking about Old Man's Journey, which is just a 1 weeker for us. It was a very short game, but very charming game, I think. Yeah, so I guess first of all, because I know that I played it on the PC. Did anyone play it on anything other than the PC? Because it was available on handheld devices as well as the Switch.
I played it on Switch, and I'm glad I kind of didn't end up paying paying fully for it, because I got a card from whoever my exchange person was for Game Shirt.
How much was it on Switch?
$10.99.
Yeah.
Which is the most expensive of the three platforms, and
yeah,
all the same size.
That's a bit.
Yeah, because Steam was $7.99. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And mobile was $5.99, at least in the Android
store. I was wondering that. Yeah, $5.99. Wow.
Did you play it mobile, Madeline?
I did not, but after playing it for like 10 or 20 minutes, I was like, this feels like it'd be a really good mobile game.
Yeah.
And it is.
Yeah.
It's $4.99 on the App Store.
Yeah. Yeah. Stanton, did you do a PC?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I think I got it during the Steam Winter Sale.
I think I did too. So. I've had it for a bit, I think. Yeah, it does seem like it would be a nice kind of, cause it's not a high-intensity game. It's kind of relaxing. So it does seem like it would be a nice kind of game to kind of pull out on your phone whenever you're waiting somewhere in line or, whenever people play phone games. Because I don't, so I'm guessing that's where people play phone games. But, yeah, I agree. I did it on PC as well.
Relaxing until you get to Rhodes part.
How did the control? I mean, I'm not too familiar with the Switch, Kevin, but how did it work with the controls?
You have a little hand. If I can picture.
Okay. Got it. So just kind of like a point, just like if you were using a computer and you had a mouse.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. All right. This is off topic. Can you touch the Switch's screen? Like, I know it has a little mini screen on the. Can you touch it or no?
Touch the screen, but I'm pretty sure most of the apps don't have touch functionality.
Don't have the touch function. Okay. I was curious, just out of curiosity. So how did you. So what do you guys think about the puzzles in the game? Did you find them at all challenging or just kind of more kind of relaxing but interesting, boring?
Yeah, I found some of them overly easy, while mm-hmm. others frustrating because mm-hmm. it wasn't really quite clear what you needed to do. And then it's like you're fooling around for a while, and then it's like, oh, well, there was no way of me knowing that that one was the one that I needed to move out of the way.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. You said tutorial, Madeline.
Yeah, I think, I liked the stuff where you had to move the sheep to get mm-hmm. stuff out
mm-hmm.
of the way.
Yeah.
I just wish that there had maybe been, some little animation or something just to hint, to be like, this is what you need to do.
Yeah, that's true. It didn't have anything, did it? It just kind of just expected you just to kind of be intuitive, to just know.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Kev.
Some of them were pretty weird, like the sheep.
You didn't like the sheep ones?
No. Those were annoying.
So you liked the moving the land better? Moving the hills, the platforms?
It was a little bit Yeah, I liked it. It was a little bit confusing. Some points,
yeah.
You're like, oh, how am I supposed to move this? Or some of the things, especially in the console, they highlighted, but you couldn't actually move them.
Yeah.
Well, you can't move any platform that you're standing on,
or
the
character is standing on. Well, these were like flat platforms and stuff.
Like, were they the rock ones?
Yeah.
The rock.
I don't know if those highlighted on PC.
They highlight to show that it's like a surface you can match up with, but you can't, because you can move giant hills but not rocks for reasons.
Yeah. I posted what my pointer looks like.
Oh, okay. Very nice.
Which ruins all screenshots because it's permanently on screen. All the time.
I know. Such a bummer. Well, it's just like you can just pretend it's part of the background. Franco, you were saying something before?
Yeah, well, it's confession time.
Okay. All right. Settle in, guys.
I lasted about 15 minutes.
Uh-huh.
Again, I agree with Madeline. You were dropped pretty cold into the game, and it's like maybe it's some text prompts like this guy doesn't have a name, move the old man from hill to hill or whatever, something like that, and and giving you some ground rules on so after that I ended up watching a walkthrough, and here's the thing about watching the walkthrough. I mean, I watched the whole walkthrough, and it didn't, I don't want to say it didn't ruin or didn't. It's just by the halfway through the walkthrough, I'm like, oh, now I'm finally getting what you're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I had no, it's like, okay, it's pretty simple. It's like, once you realize what's going on and, all this, it's like, okay, it's like, no big deal. It doesn't really have that big of an effect on the once you learn this sort of like the magician's trick, you're like, okay, that's, all right, I get it.
Yeah.
Kind of thing, especially with the sheep. But then, I'm watching this guy fight with the sheep, and I'm like, don't you see? It's funny. You're looking at the video going, they only move from grass to grass. You have to.
Well, some of the ones for the sheep were a little bit obscure because you had to do a lot of, I think you had to jump between some of the platforms back and forth.
Yeah, because it was basically like checkers. You had to figure out how to get them in the right position at the right time.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I can see that. I actually, the sheep were probably my least favorite. I actually really enjoyed moving the platforms, moving the land. I thought that was an interesting mechanic or an interesting idea for the game. But I'm guessing since he is traveling and, he's walking across the land, that it kind of makes sense. It's kind of an interesting way of solving the puzzle to get him from from point A to point B. I didn't mind that as much. I kind of found it kind of relaxing doing the land ones because, I don't know, it didn't bother me at all, but.
I really liked the train.
And
so I was excited when we got on the little, the little cart to drive along the road towards the end of the game. I sucked it up with that one. Was not near as good at that one as I was at the train.
Yeah, because they
was a lot of fun.
They switch things up on you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The game could have really benefited from, 5 minutes in the beginning of, whoever, old man needs to go, and you need to.
Here's how you can live.
Right here, how you can raise and lower, terrain to help him along. And stuff like that, and the basic ground rule that you go to learn frustratingly 15 minutes later is, you can't move the terrain he's standing on. So
completely understandable. Yeah, no, I really, I kind of forgotten about the train and the truck. I enjoyed those too. For a second I thought the train, I think it was the train, for a second I thought the train kept looping. And I was like, oh, I need to, because I kind of kept, there were a few times that like it would have to stop before I could get the land fixed in time for it to continue going. And so I thought, oh, well, maybe I have to do it, like, I have to like do this so many times consistently without the train stopping for it to continue. But it was just a long sequence, I think. I think the train one was a little too long. I mean, it could have been cut just a tiny bit and you still would have had the idea and had the effect. But because again, I thought that I was doing something wrong and it was looping several times. I was like, oh no.
Yeah.
I goofed the game.
Yeah. They also, what did they do? They, get a diverging path in the train that both led it up to like the same thing, because at one point you could basically take like a lower path instead of a higher path.
I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
I ended up taking the higher path. I don't know what the lower path had.
I think I ended up taking the higher path too, which is interesting because it appears many of us did. So it's like
it was simply because I missed the lower path.
Yeah, I think it's probably harder to get to the lower path. Which is why. Did the puzzles remind you of any other games that you've played recently, or just that kind of relaxed style?
The art style was reminding me heavily of Broken Age.
A little bit. The puzzles, to at least I guess some extent, how they go, or at least it does remind me somewhat their earlier game, which I still have yet to actually do, which is And Yet It Moves. But instead you're kind of rotating the entire world.
Oh, interesting.
Just moving individual thing.
Yeah, interesting. I put a game. Yeah, anyways. But, it kind of, the illustration, the art, I guess, is what I should say, reminded me a lot of a children's book, you would say. So, just very calming, very kind of relaxing.
It reminds me of, I don't know what artist did these, but, like, those old... they usually turn them into puzzles, but they're normally things of like countryside things and stuff.
Where
it has that type of look in this, except this is a little bit more detailed.
So as you're continuing throughout the game, you know, you are traversing the landscape, and as you get to certain points, which I really like this, by the way, is that I really liked the idea of the old man, like, just kind of resting at certain points. And just kind of sitting down on benches or on rocks and taking it easy for a bit. It's interesting because, like, I read an article, and most of you are... in the same group, but about like around Easter time, about resting games and how different games treat like resting as a character, as a mechanic. And that's exactly what this reminded me of. I was like, oh, it's kind of, again, like the entire game for me was just very relaxing and moving, but it just kind of emphasized that kind of the importance of just, you know, he's on this important journey, but he does have to stop and rest and just kind of take it easy and reflect on things a bit. And leading to that, reflecting on things, like, you start seeing memories of his past. Did you guys have a specific memory that kind of stood out to you that you liked more than the others?
I'm trying to remember what all of them were.
You had...
Oh, you had the dancing, and then
you had,
goes,
yeah, you had
and
the
then
dancing.
He gets married.
Yeah, you had, well, you had the first one, I think, was this one, which I'm posting in the old man's journey chat, which was of him seeing her at this party as a sailor. He sees her. And then I think it goes to... Oh, yeah, I think it's kind of like a date of sorts. I don't think
they go on the
Volkswagen bus. And...
Yeah, they're out. They're on the cliff. They're kind of overlooking some scenery there. And then they're on a boat. He's offering her some wine, winning her heart.
So pissed.
What?
She looks, she doesn't look happy.
She's got her hands on her hips and she's got the glare. I feel like she's got the glare.
True, yeah.
Why? Because he has a boat?
Well, because he's trying to get her onto the boat, I think.
Yeah. She doesn't look
And cute. Then they get married when she's pregnant.
That was like an odd... You know, that was sort of like, all right, why is... that important.
was that so that they didn't have to go and put in another memory of her being just pregnant?
Yeah, because the next one is of her. Yeah, next one is of him giving a vote to his daughter. And then the next one is of him at the birthday party, it looks like. Steering out at the sea wistfully because he obviously misses sailing, a life that he had to give up for his family, or that he felt he had to give up. And then the next one is him, it looks like, charting a course for his next sailing adventure. He's planning, getting it all together. And the next one is of him showing his life. His map and his plans, she does not approve.
Yeah.
We're going to go sailing around the world.
I don't think it was even, I don't know. I mean, I don't even know if, like, the next one is of him leaving with this little girl standing in the distance. You know, and I'm not even sure. I mean, it doesn't really say. I mean, I guess it could have been for all of them. I just kind of always thought, he wants to go sailing. Like, he wants to take a trip sailing, you know, and just kind of head out. Mm-hmm. And she was not happy. And then, you know, the next one happens, like, when he sees the air balloons during his trip. He remembers seeing them while he was at sea and seeing the whale. And then it shows him as an older man looking at a picture of his daughter. While he's out on his trip, obviously he hasn't seen, I'm guessing he probably hasn't seen her in a long time.
I couldn't make up my mind if that is his daughter or his wife.
Oh, that's definitely his wife.
Okay.
I think it's the wife with the red hair.
And then it looks like he goes back to the house and the house
and
is all boarded up.
Yeah. Science is, like for sale, I believe.
Yeah. And then it shows him building the house on the cliff. And then that's kind of it, because then we kind of get more into present day at the end of his journey. So, because that's the house that we start the game at, is the house that it showed in the last memory.
With all the games we play and building houses on cliffs.
I really loved, I mean, the art style, of course, played into the rest of the game, which I appreciate. You know, I mean, it's hard to tell probably maybe which came first. We don't know. I mean, usually I would say these were conceptual and they might have styled the game after the artwork. I don't know. But that's what I speculate. But did you like if you don't have a favorite, did you like the pacing of the memories, like where they placed them? Did you like how that they treated the memories of how they introduced them? Or do you wish that they were more kind of playable other than just pictures?
I kind of wish you could have done something in the memories, because you're like, oh, yeah. I can interact with everything except for everything in this photo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that would have been neat, because how you can, like, make birds fly around and, like, wiggle laundry on the line and stuff. That would have been cool.
Mm-hmm.
In memories, too.
Yeah, and that would have been an interesting way to treat it. Would have been, like, maybe, like, almost like a, the only thing I can think of is, like, a pop-up book. A source where you can interact with certain things, you know, and just click it, like, you know, like in the party photo, click the balloons and the balloons would, you know, or click the girl and she would kind of pull them back, you know, that would have been interesting. But yeah, I kind of agree that I kind of wish that there was a little more, even though I love them, like there was a little more interactivity with all of those. What is that, Kevin?
That's in the underwater scene.
Good catch.
I noticed the number on the boat, and I thought it was interesting. I didn't.
Oh, so is that his boat?
No, that's a boat. That's one of the boats when you end up falling into the lake.
Okay.
And you're on your trip, like dream trip thing.
Yeah, really strange drowning part. Yeah.
Yeah.
Drowning with,
drowning with streetlights and
hills you walked on down underneath in the ocean. Okay, what's going on here?
Yeah,
I think it was very metaphorical.
Yeah, so, Kevin, do you
know the significance of the number?
Yes.
Okay.
I know it's Jenny's number.
Is it 867-5309?
5309? Yes, it is.
Jenny.
I saw a great license plate that said 867 J-E-N-Y.
That's so funny. That's interesting. That's interesting. I mean, I kind of was thinking that, but then I couldn't make out the numbers very well. But
yeah.
Yeah, so a little bit more interactivity with the memory scenes might have been nice.
But... yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. The one where he's looking out the window at his daughter's birthday party really reminded me of the movie Lord of War. If you've ever seen that with Nicolas Cage.
I have not, no.
That's a good one with Nicolas Cage. It's excellent. It's about being an international arms dealer. But there's basically a scene exactly like that where it's his daughter's birthday and he's like trying to jump into the back room to take work calls.
Yeah.
With like a third world country.
Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah. So obviously he, you know, obviously stealing was important to him, but, you know, he obviously regretted kind of stepping away for such a long time. But he had big dreams. Big dreams. So, did you notice go ahead, Franco. No, go ahead.
I was going to say, did anybody's, I know my attitude towards him shifted two pivotal parts where he, you know, the picture where with him leaving and then the picture of him coming back to the house, empty house.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, duh, you schmuck. You know, it's like, what you think would happen, you know? Mm-hmm. So I sort of like, my attitude towards him sort of shifted at that point. It's like, I don't know. I just, you know, just a personal thing where it's like, you know, it's not a choice I would have made in all that.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying?
For sure. It does happen, though. A lot.
Oh yeah, certainly.
I had interpreted him like the him showing them the plans and then her kind of like I kind of interpreted that scene as him like wanting to sail but then like take them with him is definitely shown in the end because his daughter also enjoyed sailboat and stuff. But then his wife was like, no, that's dangerous and
sure
not safe to do.
Sure. Yeah. And said, even in that situation, and said, you know, he didn't, obviously didn't listen to her. He went anyways. Did his thing. But, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's definitely, you know, it's not an unheard of or unusual story, but, you know, I think that they, maybe someone else's thoughts on this, but I think that they did it rather well of kind of portraying that, because I think it was towards the end, especially like around the time that he went back to the, that showed him going back to the empty house, like as he was ending the, to, heading towards the end of his journey, it showed him, I think, like, you know, he started getting a little, you know, things started getting bleaker in his travels, and he started getting more kind of, it seemed a lot more introspective. Like, I think one time he was crying. I'm not sure if it's when he went back to the house or when he was looking at the picture. But when it went back to present day during your journey, he was, I think he wiped a tear away or something, which I thought was very moving. But I mean, so obviously he, you know, he seemed very remorseful of what happened. But yeah. You guys have any thoughts about that? Did you like the way that the story progressed?
I mean, I feel like they did a good job trying to match just like the general.
Yeah.
Like your basic story, you know, three-act structure story arc.
With, yeah.
You know, everything that he was going through.
Yeah.
With his journey matched kind of his internal journey.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what did you guys think about the ending? You know, he gets to the end of his journey, stops at the house, goes inside, and it's revealed that his wife or ex-wife is dying. And, you know, you see a girl there, which you assume is, you know, which we find out is his daughter. How do you think that they handled that? Did you like that ending? Do you think that they could have done something different?
It was predictable.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. After a while, you kind of realized that it was either the
daughter mother, has an issue.
The or, mother yeah. or the daughter
mm-hmm.
is dying.
Yeah.
Even predictable, was it? I mean, did the predicted. I mean, because things can be predictable yet still moving.
Well, I mean, it's like, not only was it predictable, it almost felt a little, I don't know, cliche or something.
Yeah.
That, you know, the title of the game is Old Man's Journey.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the guy's, like, out doing his own thing. The letter comes in the mail. And mm-hmm. guy packs up his stuff and heads out. So, obviously, there's something going on that, like, someone's dying. So,
mm-hmm.
you need to embark on this journey to see them before they die. And it's just like, okay, well, you know, would have been nice if you did something different. But, okay, well, here we are.
Yeah. Yeah. Understandable.
It's amazing. You could almost make this. I just, as Chris was going through that, he reminded me. I'm like, you could almost make this. If you flip the coin and the choice that he made, it's, you can make this a To the Moon episode.
Oh, I was just thinking of like, and observe Old Man's Journey 2 with Dr. Watson where he chose, and Dr. Rosalie.
Yeah, where he chose to stay home with his wife and kid and missed out on sailing around the world, and he really wanted to sail around the world.
Thank you, that's perfect. That's perfect. Way to bring it around, buddy.
I'm sitting there watching that scene. I'm like going, geez, can we just play a game once where nobody dies?
No, because death makes narrative.
Yeah, death happens. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I mean, it does happen. But, you know, yeah, as Chris said, I saw it a mile away. As soon as you see that, you know, you start putting A, B, and C together that, you know, he chose to see over his wife and his family. Yeah. And, you know, then you realize, ah, oh, that's what the letter's about. You know, it's one of them is in dire straits and just coming a mile away. I mean,
yeah.
So
it could have been one of those plot twist moments where they're like, oh, we, you thought it was like something urgent and bad, but it's like, oh, the daughter for some reason is inviting her father to her wedding or something. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, right. The old man gets yeah. there and he's like, the letter says, I have cancer.
Wow. Something like a Black Mirror episode.
What is this? My God. What is this? Has this turned into The Fault in Our Stars?
And I guess that makes up, that brings up an interesting point in my head, personally. Just like, I mean, does it have to have a plot twist? Like, does it have to? Because here's the way I look at the game. And I mean, I didn't find it. I mean, yes, it was predictable to me, but I still was moved by the ending. And I think just because, again, like I've said before, it kind of reaches, it was like reading a children's storybook. Like, it wasn't meant to, like, surprise me. It was, I don't think it was meant to surprise anyone. I don't think it was meant to, you know, I mean, maybe raise a few deep questions, but it's not meant to, like, make, you know, and make, maybe make you kind of think about your life just a bit, you know, just, you know, but I don't think it was, I don't think the game was trying to do anything new. I think it was just trying to tell a nice story through lovely artwork. Something that you can just sit back, play for an hour and a half and be like, oh, that was nice. That was nice. So, I mean, that seems... I mean, I don't know. I don't know if it's a little bit different than what, you know, a few of you are describing, like, because you said it was predictable and that. So did you not enjoy, like, did the ending not let you enjoy the game? You can be perfectly honest.
It took some points off of it.
Yeah.
Especially not being able to do much with the boat at the end.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
That
was the best credits I've ever been to.
It was lovely. Honestly.
It was fun, but I wish you could have done more with the.
Well, I mean, you could speed just up moving the credits. It
back and forth.
Mm-hmm. Like if you move the boat, if you move the boat forward, the credits would go by faster.
I didn't realize that. I just watched it and I was like, I'm just gonna sit here and just enjoy my life.
There you go.
Just have a. Have a great jolly old time. But yeah, I guess I just really like the colors and everything in the game too. But
I think I agree with you, Steph. I don't think they're trying to do a new story, that they're just gonna try and tell it like a familiar story.
Yeah.
In old or in a new kind of new way. Or at least through a new medium. Because like the name, I think they picked The Old Man's Journey purposely, because I keep wanting to call it The Old Man in the Sea all the time. And they're really, I mean, they're kind of similar.
Yeah.
As far as like internal journey. But I really liked that, particularly towards the end, like when he's in the like the underwater part, he's no longer moving in a two dimensions. He's actually coming towards the camera almost. Mm-hmm. You have to physically clear the shipwreck and all the junk and stuff out of the way. And that's for me, I love it when games are telling their story through their mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're doing. Mm-hmm. You have to clear out the wreckage that he has made of his life so that he can move forward.
Yeah.
And then from that point onward, instead of moving so much laterally on the screen, you're kind of going up more. Significant again of like, we're no longer in the low point. I'm completely committed to this decision and I'm moving in a more positive direction.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Just geeking out.
No, for sure. No, thank you. Yeah. I think you spoke everything I was realizing without me saying it. So it's good. Oh. It's good, Madeline.
One other thing I just remembered that I disliked, and it took me a while to figure out what the heck was going on was the waterfall puzzles.
Yeah.
Because like they don't make it abundantly clear. Oh, you're supposed to go to the thing, and fall down, and because you're able to go and hold your mouse in the water and like clear it away. But even if you still go to the point where the one thing was, you still fall anyway, even though there's no water there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. No, I agree. I agree. That was probably the one part that I was like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do here, because I kept like playing with like the waterfall and, you know, putting my cursor through it and holding it in and watching the water move. And I was like, what am I supposed to be doing? And then finally, I was like, oh, like, he fell down, like, I just so happened to, like, click, like, on the other side of the screen, and he started walking towards it, and I was like, oh, no, he's going to die. But no, he just fell to the next, he just fell to the next platform, and I was like, oh, okay, this works. Totally works.
It's a shame, because that could have been solved with, like, a five-second animation, like, the first time you come up on a waterfall, just let him go without you clicking
it for you.
If you fall down a waterfall, you just land on the next level.
Or if anything, like, even just like the first time you come across them, to have like an arrow at the waterfall, like pointing down, you know, or something like that, or have like a little tiny animation showing like pointing down. Like, I mean, there's several ways that they could have done it, even without taking really any time. Like, they could have had something going while you were still moving on the screen, and so it wouldn't even eat up anything.
Right. Have a sheep walk up to the waterfall and fall down.
Just a sheep come out of nowhere, just walking. Oh my gosh.
Especially, I think, because, like, in most platformers, when you fall, that's, like, the universal symbol of
exactly. Yes. So, you're done.
So it was weird to get past that.
Yeah.
Because even after I knew it was what I was supposed to do, I was still trying to solve the puzzles without getting down the waterfall. And you can't.
Exactly. And I really liked the music in this game as well. Very kind of goes along with the whole kind of relaxing theme. So anything else you guys want to cover that we haven't covered? Regarding Old Man's Journey. Oh, I really liked the little loading screens too. And
just the dude walking?
Yeah, just the dude walking. Oh, yeah. Because like if you notice, like the color changes match kind of what you're doing. At what point in the story that you are. They're darker as you get to the darker areas of his, you know, as he's kind of like, as the, you know, the scenery changes and it gets darker because he's getting towards the end of his journey, so does the loading screen get darker colors. And then, like, towards the beginning, it's all green and blues, and then it starts getting, like, reds, and I think it's black at one point. And then towards, as I think the last loading screen, it started changing to, like, purple and pink or orange or something like that. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Oh, that was cool. All right. Well, Kevin.
I found, I think I'm not sure if we mentioned that one specifically, but I found the car puzzle be one of the most frustrating, especially during the points where you had to go and move the platform all the way up and then all the way down, because at one point I got stuck and couldn't figure out where exactly to position it get to the next thing.
I agree. Those were, I mean, I enjoyed the car and the train puzzles, but there were a couple places where I was like, I don't understand. All right, so to the scoring part, we'll start with you, as always, Franco, since you're always at the very tip-top.
Okay. I was going to say, I don't know, since I just I played 15 minutes and then went to the walkthrough. I don't know if I should. But I mean, I don't think it makes a huge difference with this game.
You're fine.
Okay. Second, I wish we had like a separate scoring category for, like, you know, we play so many games that are like heavy games and involved games and mm-hmm. you know, you give them a score and it's like, it just doesn't, when you play a light and airy sort of, you know, mini game almost like this, mm-hmm. I don't know. It just is, maybe I'm overthinking, probably, yeah, that you give it the same score and it's like, well, does that really justify giving, you know, game A, a score, and I give this game the same score, and it's like, they're not really equal. One's a much more involved game, and this is like just a little, you know, appetizer, you know, candy snack of a game, you know?
I struggle with that. You're thinking too much into it, dude. Just score the game. If you look at it this way, okay, so like if you're looking through like a gaming magazine or through a gaming site, they usually have the same scoring system, you know, 5 out of 5 stars, 10 out of 10 controllers, you know. So right. They don't lessen the scoring system for games that are shorter. So we're just going with the flow, dude. We're just going with the flow.
All right. In that case, to go quickly, art was good. Art was very nice. Very simple game mechanics. Could have done with some little helpful hints to ease people's frustrations along the way. I disagreed with the main character's personal choices, but
let it be known.
Yeah, you schmuck. You can always sail the world later. You're only a father to a daughter one time in your life. Let's see. I'd give it a 7.
But you know, it's good that you're. It's good. I mean, you know, then I laugh. Like, it's good that you. I mean, you had a reaction to it, though. Like, you had an emotional reaction to the character and to his choices, and that's important. So, there you go.
There you go.
Great, Madeline, you're next.
I really enjoyed the art. I really enjoyed the fact that they took the extra step to do some storytelling through their mechanic. Mm-hmm. It would have been nice to feel that the whole way through, like you kind of did with mm-hmm. right. the brothers game.
Right.
But at the same time, I have no idea how you would have done that the whole right. way through, so I'm not going to really hold it against them. I do think just like a little, like the barest hint of a tutorial would have been helpful, because if mm-hmm. I hadn't seen the preview for this game, I would have no idea what I was supposed to be
doing. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So I'm going to give it an 8.5.
Okay. All right, Kevin, you're up next.
I like the art. The story wise, it was kind of cliche. Mm-hmm. Some of the mechanics were fun, like getting to fiddle around with various objects and stuff, but there was a lot of obscurity and stuff in some of the puzzles, and leading to points where you're like, did I just end up getting myself stuck? So I would have to, and the price range, I feel, a bit high for what you get. So I would have to give it a 6.
I don't know. I might, Frank, have a picture of the dog, but I'm not sure. I take a lot of screenshots while I'm playing. Like, I take, like, a lot of screenshots. Stanton, you're next.
Yeah, so I pretty much agree a lot with what's being said. I kind of stumbled on to what the actual game mechanic was by sheer accident. But yeah, it would have been nice to had some tiny little tutorial to show you like what you actually needed to do.
Right.
Especially in that first scene after you leave the house where it's just you jump around the hills and you don't have to do anything. And then after that you're trying to figure out what to do, so it would have been interesting to or nice to just throw that in there as to what you needed to do.
Yeah.
Game mechanics were simple and frustrating at the same time, depending on what puzzle you were working on.
Mm-hmm.
Art style, as I said before, it's nice. It reminded me a lot of Broken Age, with that very kind of digital paintbrush feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Overall, I just felt like it was just lacking. Because it wasn't trying to do anything new, it didn't have any emotional impact to me. Mm-hmm. Because it was just, you know, as it progressed, it was just like, oh, okay, that's what this is.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no twists or turns or surprises, and it's like, as it got on, it was just like, yeah, okay, all right, fine, yeah, I saw that ending coming.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It just, it didn't do anything to make you care about any of the characters at all. I think with the short little, I don't even know if you can call them cutscenes or not, it just would have been nice if there was some more interaction there rather than just being a static picture with some music set to the thing. Mm-hmm. Like, it would have been nice to have like some sort of like pop-up book interactivity or just something that like drew you in just a little bit more. So
sure.
Overall, it was fun and frustrating at times. I thought it was a nice little game to just kind of quickly play through. If you do have an hour and a half to kill, you know, play it. But overall, I give it about a 7.
Okay. All right. I found the game, personally, I found it charming. I found it lovely. The art style immediately drew me in. So it was like, again, I'll say for the fourth time, like opening up a children's book. Which again, I think let me be a little more lenient with it because I kind of went into it not expecting a huge story. I was very forgiving with it. I did feel kind of, I do agree that there should have been like a little bit of a tutorial with the game mechanics. That would have been very helpful. Also the interactivity with the cutscenes would have been a nice touch, I think. But then also in a way, like, I just kind of liked how simple it was, and to me, it was very breathable and very, but yet, you know, simple, but yet to me, like, I still got to the end and I teared up a bit, and was like, oh, well, that's really nice that he is getting to spend time with his daughter, because, you know, I mean, yes, he made bad decisions in life, but the important thing is that he went there currently. And he was trying to make it better, you know, because we all make mistakes, and the best thing to do is to learn from them. That's all that we can do, because we can't go back and change the past, you know. And also, you could consider that he might not have known where they lived before this. Maybe that was new information for him. The game didn't reveal that to us, but that's just a speculation. Anyways, so like I just kind of left it just kind of feeling happy, warm-hearted, you know, like reading a little novel or something. So I'm going to give it I would say an 8.5. I'm gonna go for an 8.5.
I will say too that yes, there was a dog in the game.
Yes.
But it was such a short little thing that it just didn't have any impact whatsoever.
It didn't have any impact on you. Got it. Got it.
You click on the sleeping dog because, and he wakes up.
The first thing was, it's like, oh, look, a cat. And like, oh, look, the cat is showing me where to go. And it's like, hey, there's a dog. And it does nothing.
And that's it. And scene. Yeah. Fade to black.
You could have had the dog chasing the sheep around.
Yeah. Like, it would have been nice if the dog decided to, like, follow you on your journey.
That would have been so nice. That would have been that would have been good. That would have been good. I would have liked a dog follow me around. I'm not sure. Yeah, I mean, yeah, anyways, but... Yes, so it would have been also a nice afterthought to like know like how much time had passed during his journey. Like, how long was this guy gone? Who knows? Like, how long was this guy walking? No one knows.
It's like, all I was thinking too is like, how is he gonna get back home?
He's not going to go back home. He's staying with his daughter. He was living in like on a cliff, like in a house by himself. Why would he want to go back home?
Because he built it himself. And he was enjoying his solitude.
He doesn't want to enjoy his solitude, man. He has a daughter. He's enjoying family now.
Maybe they'll sail back to the cliff.
Exactly. They'll sail back there. It'll be fine.
Maybe did he take his boat with him? Because he was on his boat at the end. So that he would have had to come back to his house. Okay. That's where his boat was, at the dock, right?
Possibly.
Him and his daughter are staying together. Well, no, he didn't bring his boat because he was walking.
No, in the credits, he was on the boat.
Yeah, he had a boat. So they must have went back to a seaside house.
Okay.
Well, there isn't a boat at his seaside house.
He bought one and made it look like his old one. There's so much speculation here. There's so much speculation. We could just go on like this for... Yeah, exactly. Thank you. We could just go on like this for hours. For hours.
You could have had it shipped.
Yeah, you could have had it shipped. Or just, you know, I mean, don't people, like, people buy things, like, you know, like, say you had, you know, like, say you had a car when you were a teenager. And you were like, you know, you have really good memories of that car. But, you know, things happen and you sold it or whatever. Well, you know, you get to your 60s, 50s, and you're like, you know, I really liked that Charger I had when I was a teenager. I think I want to get another Charger, you know, kind of relive my glory days. And so, like, yeah, he could have found a boat that looked like his old boat and just kind of, you know, painted it like it and just kind of reliving those moments with his daughter in tow, like he should have done the first place.
He also could have had it in dry dock somewhere, because
exactly
the face of a cliff is not necessarily the safest place.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a good point. Very good point.
And then his house going to get turned into a lighthouse, and then this lovely elderly couple is going to go and buy it. And then
there you go.
Don't cross the streams.
And then the old lady throws it into the ocean in the end.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Anyways, okay, so our next game, guys, for next week is Late Shift. It is a film narrative game.
FMV? FMV,
Stanton?
Full motion video.
Exactly what Stanton said.
Yes.
Yeah, so a full motion video, you get to choose how the story progresses. You get to choose what the main character does. It's good. It's good. It's another 1 weeker, unfortunately. But it's only $7.79 on Steam right now. It's also available on PS4. And let's see here. I have this up. It's also available on Xbox One and PS4, as well as the PC. So I don't know how much it is on Xbox One and PS4, but I do know currently it's on sale on Steam for 40% off, because it's originally like $13. You're looking at about, how long did I play that game. Let's see here. I mean, I think about an hour and a half. I played it for, probably an hour and a half, hour and 40 minutes. Maybe longer, I did 81. Depending on... You did it in 81 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, mine was
149 on PS4.
Okay. So if you can buy it on PC, I'd buy it on PC on Steam. I think it's I think it's on sale until like the 16th, so if, you know, you buy it in the next day or so, you'd be fine if you haven't already purchased. So I found it really interesting. When I played, I enjoyed it. I don't think I got a very... I mean, it is one of those games that if you have time, you might want to go back through again. Because there are, I think, 7 different endings that you can get.
Yeah.
That I read. What ending did I get? I don't think it was... It definitely wasn't the best ending. But, that's not unusual. Like, usually with these games, I always end up getting, like, kind of the crappy ending. If you remember with Orwell, like, he shot himself.
Steph gets the Reservoir Dogs ending.
Exactly. Every time. So, yeah. I mean, someone survived this one, but not everyone did. Yeah. That was unfortunate.
Very good.
So, I enjoyed it. I've never seen anything like this before. Honestly, I mean, Stanton, have you seen any kind of, like, film narrative games like this before?
Yep.
Okay.
X-Files did one kind of similar. Not as fluid as this.
Okay.
This
one's shot really well. Yeah. Like, it's done really well, like, as far as thematically it is. And story-wise as well.
The guy who directed this is also, like, a big... semi-big name.
I think I remember reading that. I think I saw that somewhere. Yeah, for sure. If I find that,
I want to say it was the guy behind, like, Fast and Furious. I could be wrong, though.
Yeah. I think that's, that's interesting. Okay. I think that you're probably correct. I know that he did a few different things. That's our game for next week. We'll be discussing
quick thing with Late Shift. If you are playing it on the PC, there are some issues with certain video and audio drivers.
Interesting.
So when you start up the game, it should start playing audio. If it doesn't, go on the Steam page and go into the forums. There are troubleshooting steps. If you're still having problems, contact the actual developer. It's all on Steam and everything. They'll get back to you, like, right away with steps on what to do. I had some issues. I had to contact them. They got back to me within, I think, a day at the latest, and what they said fixed the problem. So,
interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. I had no problems, issues whatsoever. So we'll be discussing that entire game next week, and I will announce. I'm thinking probably our next game is probably Aviary Attorney.
Yes.
Which will be a 2-weeker, so it won't be. So we'll have a little bit of time with that one.
It was Sherlock Holmes. The guy who wrote the Sherlock Holmes with Iron Man,
Robert Downey Jr.
He's the one that wrote Late Shift.
It's a good story. It's very cinematically well done, so
yeah.
It was very interesting. And then also, for those listening or for you guys, like, you've probably seen the post, like, I'm also trying to do, like, month-long games as well that don't really fit into the weekly format. This month we're trying to do Where the Water Tastes Like Wine and The Longest Journey. Where the Water Tastes Like Wine is a narrative game about traveling the countryside. And then The Longest Journey is a point-and-click adventure game that was made back in the 90s, I think. It was one of the, at the time, was up there. Madeline, did you say something?
Oh, I think like 1999.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Thank you.
This was in the big box the time, PC days.
Big box PC days. But it did well in its time. And it's the first in a series, so I was kind of, you know, wanting to start somewhere. But anyways, yeah, so we can get those done this month. If not, we can push it to 2 months. I'll be checking in at the end of the month to see, like, where people stand that are participating. But anyways, so next week on, let's see, what is next Tuesday? April the 17th, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Pacific Time, we will be discussing Late Shift. All right, guys. I'll see you guys next week.
Yeah, all right.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.